A61, number 17B.
All right. Once again, you are asking, when do we go out from the synonymous term? When do we go out from ideas? Yeah. All right. If we know the synonymous terms, then it is wonderful to go out always from the synonymous terms. When we know the synonymous terms, we know quite a bit what are the ideas of mind, and what are the ideas of spirit, and what are the ideas of soul, etc. We know the ideas. We know the ideas because of what? Because Mrs. Eddy says so in the textbook, and we take the textbook as a revealed text and therefore as divine authority. That's our axiom. Not everybody accepts that axiom. We do, but the others may not. But the others may also be interested in being. And therefore, it may be very helpful that we can show them that what Mrs. Eddy has given us as ideas of mind and ideas of spirit are not just statements, findings, single, isolated, atomistic findings, but that actually these ideas within the list of a synonymous term blend with each other and form a compound tone called mind or spirit or soul. Therefore, in this way, we can make it understood to somebody else and to ourselves that actually these statements of Mrs. Eddy are not isolated terms, isolated ideas, but that they blend into each other, and therefore through the synonym principle are building up one tone called mind. Therefore we have to know what the term means and not just state the term, what the term means, and we see that the term through the synonymy principle always includes other terms in order to be that term. In order to be low, you just can't say low. Low implies that in low is intelligence, is action, is power, is cause. And therefore, all these ideas build up a tone called mind. Second, we may not have a complete and good and workable knowledge of the synonymous terms through a knowledge of a list of ideas. Suddenly, out of the blue, a problem may present itself, which calls itself with a name. And if we do not know if this is an idea of the synonymous term, we do not know how to handle it, because we have to handle it through the synonymous term of which it is a characteristic quality. Therefore, we can find out what this term, find out to which synonymous term this term belongs by asking, what does it imply? What does, say, mutation imply? We said nobody knows to which synonymous term mutation belongs. And so you begin to reason out the inner meaning of mutation. and you begin to feel a mutation is something that suddenly, out of the blue, comes into being absolutely without a cause. And you know that mutation brings something new. And you know that mutation brings into being something that existed always before. Therefore, if I see that, I see that which has always been before is life. That which brings forth always something new is life. That which comes out of the blue without any cause into being is life. And you feel this has all to do with life. And so you know that in order to handle the belief that there should be a mutation, you would handle it through the synonymous term life. I can't explain it better than I did it now. Okay. And if it's not clear, you can have the tapes. All right. So we had the seed within itself as a biblical expression for that wonderful fact that an identity always reproduces itself. Therefore, that an identity never has to be established, has never been to be brought into being, but that we have to see that the true idea, whatever that idea is, has a seed within itself. It can always reproduce itself. Therefore, did we have reappear somewhere? Here you can put in to reappear. That's the seed within itself. You said also once during today that like produces like, therefore the species don't change, therefore the identity will always reappear in its exact likeness. That's reappear. Therefore in the third day of creation, the text that Mrs. Eddy gives has a lot to do with reappears and reappears. Because the re makes it soul, huh? Mind presents the idea, but the reappearing and the reappearing is a sense of soul, of the inner, the seed within itself that is responsible. That's why I think the term that is responsible, that the identity never loses its identity. Then we have another idea of soul, the capacity of soul. Why is capacity an idea of soul? Now you reason it again from the term. All right. What does capacity mean?
Ability.
Maximum output.
It's an ability, but more than an ability.
Webster says maximum output.
Maximum output. And how many other definitions does he have?
I just thought that was a good one.
Capacity is the ability of output, yes, certainly when you say what is the capacity of this and this machine or this and this factory, and say, well, the output is so and so many tons, that's the capacity, the productive production capacity. Yeah, so that's applied to production, but what means capacity in its ontological sense, in its deeper sense, not. So it's an ability, but what kind of ability? It's not an ability per se, or it would be synonymous with ability.
Potential.
It's a potential. Isn't one of the definitions?
Contain.
You see, it's the ability to contain. It's the ability, but the ability to contain. If we have a terrific capacity, we say he has a terrific ability of all things that he can contain within itself. And in that way she uses soul. Now, if you go out from that, how can you see that it is soul? The ability to contain.
Well, that's like
huh?
A seed.
It's like a seed within itself, huh? Yeah? Because a seed within itself, huh, has the capacity to reproduce it endlessly, without any limits. From millions of years, an acorn has brought forth an oak, and has brought forth acorns and oaks and acorns and oaks. Has a terrific capacity to hold without limits. That's why it is soul.
An infinite supply of ideas.
It's not so much the supply, but the ability to hold it, and to supply it. It's the ability to contain all abilities, Yes?
The resources. Infinite resources.
You know, I feel you must see capacity of soul. I always see. It's, you know, you are scientists, and I always see the same thing. I'm a woman, and therefore I'm not intelligent. I'm a man, therefore I cannot give birth. This is not capacity of soul. Always to say, I have not everything within me. Capacity of soul is to say, I have everything within me. I can hold everything within me. And that terrific sense that everybody says, I can do this and this, but the other I can't do. I'm good in this, but in the other I'm not good. This is not capacity of soul. This is not Christian Science. This is just blah, blah. If one sees that being is of the nature of soul, that being is of the nature of reproducing itself, not reproducing one or the other abilities, but to reproduce itself, all the abilities, all the faculties, then by my word, take that sense of soul, and then you feel you can do anything, and you have the ability to do anything, and that you have especially the ability to do right that which people say you can't do. You have it. Can you see what the capacity of soul is? That you take in all the senses, all the spiritual senses, all the abilities you take in and say, this is my capacity. The capacity of soul is my capacity. Therefore, no one should ever say, I can't do this and I can't do that and I haven't this and I haven't that. I have no spiritual sense and I have no abilities and I have no understanding and I have no endurance and I have no health and I have no supply and I have no mother sense and I have no father sense, I have no dominion, I have not that. This is not the ability, the capacity of soul. Either we believe these things or we don't. Either we believe it and then we take it. But if we don't believe it, then let's go and have a good picnic somewhere and go fishing and have a real good jolly time. We can do that. We can do a lot of fun together, I think. But for heaven's sake, if we touch the textbook, let's touch it. Let's touch it. You know, as a tough young boy, and I was tough, you know, I liked to climb trees and mountains, etc. I saw that I had a lot of male qualities. I said, that's not good enough. And as a boy, I said, I'm going to have woman qualities. But woman qualities, not fizzy-dizzy qualities, not lovey-dovey qualities. Real woman qualities, huh? Qualities of giving birth. I worked until I had it, and I know I have it. Not the diddly-diddly, huh? I can do that too if I let myself down, and if I want to be disgusted about myself, I can do smile at everybody, you know, say, oh, how wonderful you are. You are, you know, you are a real darling. Yes, sweetie, huh? I can do that too. That's not difficult. That's not difficult. But if there are senses of spirit, then there are infinite senses. If there is a capacity of soul, then that soul must contain all abilities. And funny enough, before I was working Christian Science, one always was saying that I was lacking certain important qualities, which everybody has when he's young and so on. And the funny thing was that when I came in Christian Science, I had to use those qualities which I didn't have. I couldn't speak. I stuttered. I never could get something out of my mouth. Never could say a sentence really properly. And things like that. I jolly well had to do the very opposite. But it came like this. When did it come? Not when I wanted. When the Christ touched me. When I suddenly saw a terrific sense of what John Dolley gave us. The Christ has all these capacities. It's only a matter that you take it. They are there. They are here. They are here. And to say, I'm not built that way. No. You are built according to the gender of soul. That's why we have gender. Huh? There's only one gender. I'm not happy with this business of manhood and womanhood and womanhood and manhood and manhood and womanhood. It's too small. Too small. Soul has infinite gender, and not just two. Manhood and womanhood. We must have much more gender than manhood and womanhood. Those two are important, but they are not all. John Dolley always taught us, soul has infinite gender. Infinite gender. Where do we get it? Where do we get that infinite gender? Where do we get soul? From mind and from spirit. You have to start out with mind and see that mind has all abilities and all faculties. That spirit, through spirit we can give birth to all those faculties and abilities. And therefore see that they are our identity, and therefore we have the whole capacity of all the faculties and abilities that mind and spirit give us. By golly, this is science. I'm not interested in healing somebody of a toothache and see that the cat is coming back and I don't know what, you know, and all that thing that the practitioner has to do. What's the good of it, huh? If we cannot heal ourselves of being immortal. That's the job we have to tackle, you know, in practice. Each one who sits here has a terrific practice. They have a mortal to take care of. The ego to take care of and say, how can I get rid of that mortal? How can I be the idea of God? Huh? That's a job. That's practice. And that doesn't start by saying, I can't do that and I can't do that and I'm built this way and I'm built that way and therefore I'm only half a portion and you are the other half portion. We have to be the whole portion, the whole capacity of soul. Practice that, huh? It's good. It's a capacity of soul.
We have to live up to our potential.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Isn't there one of the sayings, I think it's, from one of the, that every man has within itself everything to surpass himself. That every man has everything within himself to surpass himself. Surpass, huh? Is that the right term?
Bergson, I think, isn't it? The philosopher Bergson.
I think maybe Bergson or, yeah. Not Victor Hugo. Yeah, Bergson, I guess. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the capacity of soul. See? That he could see that the capacity which we have as a human is too small, but that we have a capacity which is bigger than we, and therefore we can surpass ourselves. That's what we have to do. You know, there was a time when we were born, what happened? That they put the infinite into a finite thing. And that's our death, huh? So we have to get out of it again. We have to go back to our original primeval state where we have not been put into limitations. Into. Do you hear soul? Everything that is into, is the counterfeit of soul. It's limitation, making it restricted, narrowing down, all that has to do with the counterfeit of soul. So let's break those limits, huh? Have you ever seen yourself as an infinite idea? It's worthwhile contemplating for a whole evening. Huh? You see, that's soul. That soul is outside the body. Let's go outside the body. Not when we have dinner, but that's all right. But but when it comes to the real life problem, huh? And therefore, because this is such a claim on us that we feel that we are a body and have a body and therefore live in a body and that we are just as big as our body and not bigger than what the faculties and abilities of our body allows us to do, we jolly well have to deal with it and see, I'm not in the body. Put the body behind you and then look into the infinitude of the divine mind and see that the divine mind has all faculties, has all abilities, that the divine mind is so clever, so able to do anything, that there is nothing impossible for the divine mind. Therefore, the divine mind has the intelligence to do it. And stay there and see, that is the substance of my being. And you go to spirit. You begin to see, that's the substance of my being. That's the nature of the only true being there is at all. And you just feel that, therefore, that unlimited concept of the divine mind as being the only nature of us gives you suddenly a sense that you are outside of the body, that you are not living in the body, that you are not living in your thoughts. That as an idea you are living in, and then you come to principle. Yes? That is the capacity of soul. Mm-hmm. Soul, she says, is sinless. Why is soul sinless? How can you reason now why sinlessness is soul? How can you reason from sinlessness to soul? That's now my question. You have to ask what is sinless, huh? Come on, yeah?
The idea of sin is having a confused idea about something, not completely understanding it, or understanding something wrong with it.
Yeah?
So if we have an identity of an idea, we cannot have a sense of understanding something wrong with it.
Yes?
So soul, therefore, has to be sinless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Yeah? See, it's a sense that sin means deviating from something, huh? Instead of being exactly in accord with something, identified with it, it's deviating, blurring, huh? Blurred, huh? Not straight on to the dot. Huh?
Missing the mark.
Missing the mark, huh?
Yeah.
Not straight in in concordance with, not absolutely identical with, missing something, and all that has to do that it is a belief that the whole identity is not there.